Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Skillsoft podcast. What we're going to be looking at today is workplace safety and health training programs. And we know that the cost is definitely on a lot of your minds out there. It can be a challenge. We're here to tell you that we can provide these programs, you can provide these programs, and you can do it cost effectively. You can do it without breaking the bank. What it really means in order to do it that manner is building a really credible process to evaluate some measurable aspects of your compliance training program. And it does require some careful kind of thought and consideration, some of that pre-planning. That's what we're going to be talking about today with Donna McEntee. She is the Director of Workplace Safety and Health Compliance at Skillsoft. And so we've got a fair amount of things we want to cover. So I really want to dive right on in, Donna. And really, it starts at the idea of ways that organizations are looking at the idea of providing the safety and health training, but at a cost-effective way to the organization, that they can strategize. And maybe it means thinking a little bit differently than they've been doing so in the past, involving some of the day-to-day ops and things like that. So what are a few strategy ideas that you'd like to share with teams out there that have led to success?
I think the first place we would want to start would be looking at ways that you can offset costs or avoid costs in your organization. And by documenting those and collecting that information, you can use that as justification for the training programs that you provide to your employees. The first one I'd like to look at is the experience modification rate. And I know that's a big term, but really when you think about it, this is the number that insurance companies use to gauge how well you are doing in preventing injuries in your organization. So the lower the EMR for your business, the lower your worker compensation premiums will be. And by leveraging training in the organization to improve workplace performance, the net effect can be to reduce your EMR to an industry average of one or lower. If your business has a lower EMR rate, then your insurance premiums can be lower than the industry averages. So again, this is a great way to leverage training that you're doing, reduce accidents, and then the net is to reduce your insurance cost. Another thing we could look at is the cost of accidents. Really knowing how much the injuries cost in your organization is going to be vital when you're determining an ROI for safety programs and specifically around training within an organization. So you need to understand how revenues and accident costs are related. For every accident, your company needs to increase the revenues that they generate to maintain the profit margins and cover the cost of an accident. So if you use a simple formula like the cost of the injury, divide that by the percentage, the revenue required of your profit margin, you can come up with a total number of additional revenue you would need to generate for that accident that occurred in your environment. An example would be a $10,000 cost of an injury and your profit margin is 3%, you would need to generate an additional gross revenue of $333,000. And OSHA has a great calculator as a reference for this. So if you go out to OSHA's website and search for safety pays, there's a great tool out there that would help you identify what those costs and additional revenues would be to cover costs within your organization. So this is another great way to tie training and reduction of the cost of accidents to justifying the cost of your training program. And then, of course, there's always the OSHA citations. You know, I think we're all on the same page when it comes to an OSHA citation. There was a recent example of a manufacturer in Georgia, and they had received multiple citations. Within that inspection, there were several that were specific for failure to train. The total number of citations for that employer was $256,000, but of that, there were almost $177,000 of those citations just related to training for failure to train their employees on required training. Using citations within your organization and looking at it in perspective of how much you spend on training is a great way to tie the cost of your training program to reductions in the overall cost to the organization. And I guess finally, one of the other areas we would look at would be cost replacement. And a good example of this is replacing your current training program with a lower cost or more cost-effective training program. And an example of that I'm very familiar with is online training, awareness level training for safety and health. These training programs can be up to 40% less expensive than traditional classroom training programs. And the savings comes from the reduction in time and training, the efficiency that is provided through the training, and being able to utilize a learning management system for things like assignment tracking and reporting. So that's another way to look at how do you reduce your training program cost and how do you justify the cost of training.
Donna, as you share some of these strategies with teams, are these kind of like wow, aha type moments of, oh, I didn't think about that as a way that we could tie, again, our cost to produce this content, but tie it to where we might have savings in other places? Is this a really eye-opener thing that you're hoping more people throughout many industries kind of start catching on to?
I don't know that it's the aha, but I think it's really the big picture. I think sometimes when you're so focused on one particular area of the business, such as, you know, ensuring a safe workplace, you don't realize where the overall cost of the organization may be if you don't meet those goals and objectives. So by not doing your training, by not meeting those requirements from a training perspective, there are all these other significant costs that come into the picture that affect not only your safety and health team, but also the larger organization. And that's where the aha moment is, I think.
All right, cool. I appreciate those insights there. Let's talk about something that is still, I'm assuming, many of our listeners need to prove and share upwards, right, to that executive office level. And that is the idea of this ROI, because we've got safety and workplace health trainings, and you're saying, hey, we need some budget for that. And you've got some executives that, well, show me the ROI. And you've given some good strategies, right, that are tied to the overall picture. But what about doing a straight ROI for these actual safety and health learning programs? Is that something still valuable and should be done? And if so, how should that be done by teams?
An ROI is really a separate approach for justifying your training program. The challenge with ROI, and especially, you know, customers and clients that I've worked with over the years, is recognizing what is an ROI and when is the right time to do it. To do an ROI, you need to have data, and it all starts with this: determining when are you going to start looking at the return on your investment in training, and how long of a period do I need to prepare to collect the data and prepare the calculation. And really, when you think about it, an ROI is just simply a calculation, which is expressed as a ratio. So you need to look at the investment that you've made in your training, look at the net training program benefits, and divide that by the program cost. And that's going to give you your return on investment. The key to doing an ROI is that time frame. You need to be able to collect the data, identify what data is important for your organization, collect the data, and then be able to do the calculation. And really, an ROI can't be done at the very beginning of the implementation of a training program. You need to create a plan of how you're going to do that return on investment calculation, and then look at the data over a period of time.
So far, we've talked a little strategy, we've talked process, but you and I both know strategies and process are nothing without people. And so who are best positioned to kind of look at these strategies, implement these, conduct an ROI? Is it one individual on one person's shoulder? Is it a group within just one division? Is this a multi-function group across several aspects of an organization? What is a good place to kind of get started there? And what have you seen in terms of the team formation?
Sure. And this is definitely not done in a silo. So a good ROI is going to have to be defensible to your executive level. When you're asking for additional budget or you're trying to justify the cost of your program. So I would recommend creating a cross-functional team that would be a part of this process. And within that team, you would have members from your safety and health organization. You would want to include from your organization people within the finance and budget area, as well as senior managers, and even from the production level or the employee level. Within the organization, to have this cross-functional team is going to enable you to collect the data that's going to help create the justification for the program and get the input that you need from the employees and from the organization to justify the training program that you've developed.
In terms of evaluating some of these things, is it advised to do, hey, let's look at the program as a whole from top to bottom all at once? Or let's say we're manufacturing and we're making product on the factory floor, but then we're also packaging and shipping it out as well. Do you take a small aspect of the packaging group and look at their safety and training and health and all of that, and do a small grouping and prove that back to the execs, and then say, and look, we can do this for the rest of the training programs as well? Or do you try and eat that elephant all at one time? What, again, what's a good road to success?
Sure. No, that's another great question. So in my experience, it's better to pick one or two select areas within the organization where you feel like you will be able to collect the data that you need. And we can talk some more about some of the data that you would want. But to look at those specific areas within the organization that are quantifiable to begin with. So maybe you've had a lot of slip and trip accidents in the facility, and you've implemented a training program around slips, trips, and falls. That would be a great first step in creating an ROI. Another one might be around driving in the organization. Driving accidents are very quantifiable in that you know how much those cost. So to implement a training program around reducing driving accidents and then be able to look at that over a period of time, say 6 months or a year, you're going to be able to collect data that would support the ongoing investment in your training programs. So that's a great approach, is to start with a couple of key programs within the organization and build out your first ROIs on that. And then that's going to give you templates to use to evaluate other programs in the organization. It's going to help you create those relationships with the other key players in your organization that you need to work with to collect the data. And it's going to give you verifiable information to help support the ROI decisions.
I want to talk a little bit about budgeting. And what I'm thinking here is that I don't often hear of safety program managers or ops managers having necessarily a seat at the executive table when talking about a company budget for the year. They may have some input and they may be able to get some of that information into, again, some of their higher-ups that bring that to the executives. But the idea is wondering, how can people like that make sure that the voices are being heard? So when execs are thinking about budgeting, you know, there is money that's being set aside for safety and health training. And there is an understanding that it's important to have that as an ongoing part of the discussion, not an add-on at the end of the budgeting cycle.
Those funding decisions, like you said, are made at a senior level. Being able to tie your programs and the impact that you have to any corporate defined objectives is a great approach. And then building a credible ROI for the safety and health training programs that can be compared against other competing requests from the budget standpoint is going to help provide the justification to continue providing those successful training programs in the organization. And really, as a safety leader or manager in the organization, you need to understand how much you are spending on those training programs. So looking at the ROI factors, as far as your direct and indirect cost, and then what those net program benefits are, will help you create those calculations, will enable you to show the math to the senior level from a decision standpoint, and provides you the data to both report on those successful programs that you have, as well as any misses or programs that haven't been as successful as you had hoped. And all of this helps build credibility at the C-suite level and helps you justify your programs both now and in the future.
Donna, as I talk to business people, all sorts of lines of business throughout the year, one of the things that I find when they're making a decision to work with a team is they don't want to just buy a product and then move on, right? A lot of us are looking for, and a lot of them are looking for, kind of that partnership. How can you also help me with this? Don't just give me a product or a service and then let me do it on my own. They want some help and support. So I'm wondering if you can dive into any of your stories about how Skillsoft may have helped some teams kind of show that value, maybe helped them, right, convince executives to put more budget money aside, or help them demonstrate how one of the strategies you talked about earlier might be something to prove how well these safety, health, and training programs are working. What do you do from your position there at Skillsoft to help those folks kind of be champions within their organizations for health and safety?
So it really starts at the very beginning of your relationship with Skillsoft. And what we would do is help our customers identify those key training programs that align to their requirements, whether it's from a regulatory standpoint or a business objective standpoint. and working with your consultants from Skillsoft, your team, to identify, you know, at what point in this new program implementation would you want to look at doing an ROI? And collecting that data upfront, helping you understand what data would be important to use as part of the justification of, you know, for your program down the road. But really it comes back to the data aspect. You know, what do you need to know? Is it going to be, you know, what is your completion criteria? How many learners have completed training? What percentage of learners have completed training? If you're collecting information about accidents, you know, what are your accident and injury rates at the beginning of the program versus 6 months or a year into the program? So looking at the data and then establishing what your goals and objectives are, and really, again, focusing on maybe one or two key areas. Slips, trips, and falls is a great, you know, topic. It's a pretty common workplace injury, and that data should be readily available. So you could use that as a starting point. Other areas, you know, you may want to craft a program around driving, as I had mentioned. That's another good area where you could focus on numbers of injuries, reductions of injuries over time. And those that data can be collected through the learning management system and look at, you know, what are the trends in the organization and can you show the benefit at the end? And then another key to this would be the intangibles. Can you gauge employee participation and acceptance? How do the employees like the training? And then Skillsoft can help collect information through questionnaires around employee perception of the program. How well do they like the program? Has it helped them do their job? Are they seeing value in it? And all of this information could be rolled into an ROI calculation using those net benefits. We can equate the data that we have to cost savings and look at the net benefits for the learning program.
Well, hey, Donna, good stuff there. Do appreciate your time and insights today. And folks, for you listening, I want to share a little follow-up information right now. Skillsoft Compliance Solutions does provide a full suite of compliance training solutions that really help organizations mitigate risk, enable employees to make the right decisions. Coverage includes more than 500 risk topics that's spread across 32 languages. It really provides one of the largest global libraries of workspace safety and health training that is available, including training on fire safety, ergonomics, hazardous material, driving safety. That's something Donna mentioned earlier in our conversation. You can all request a demo over at www.skillsoft.com/request-a-demo. So skillsoft.com/request-a-demo. Request-a-demo there at the end. You can also find more information at skillsoft.com/compliance. On behalf of Donna and the entire Skillsoft team, I'm James Hilliard. Thanks for joining us and listening. We do look forward to talking to you all down the road.